Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
God is good. Well, mean it, don't let it just be a thing that you say. Now, we talked out of that scripture from Jeremiah. Stand at the crossroads, this is what the Lord declares, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient ways, the right path where you will walk in what is good, and so be at peace with yourselves. But they said, the rebellious people said, we shall not walk in that way. Praise God, there's no rebels here. Now, this is literally a crossroads. Two roads crossing one another. There's a little tissue. We'll just remove these. Right. Now, this is the way that we have been. And we come to the crossroads. Jesus says, or the Lord says, choose the ancient path. We can't turn around and go back. The past is past. This is the way of deception. Because the ancient path, the scripture says, is the right way. So it's the way of truth. This is the way of self. We're going to run out of space here, so I think what I'll do is put deception in there and self there. Both those ways will take us off the course God intends for us. In order to follow Jesus, we have to deny self and resist the devil, who is the deceiver. Now, the scripture said this is the right way that is good. So neither of those ways are good. This is the way, obviously, of obedience, therefore, to God's commands. We've seen that we had to come this way through obedience. So it's the way of love for God, loving Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and love for others, my neighbors, myself, and loving others as He has loved me. This is the way of self-love. This is the way that glorifies the enemy. So this is the way of Jesus. It is the narrow way. Both these ways lead to destruction. But this is the way that leads to life, Jesus says. This is the way of abiding in Christ. But we don't abide in Christ by walking in deception or walking in self-love. So when you look at it like that, it's pretty clear which way we are to walk in. Of course, the world wants us to walk this way. And the devil wants us to walk that way. Jesus wants us to walk this way. So it's all pretty clear. And what God does is to give us the grace not to walk that way, or to think that it doesn't matter if we walk that way, nor to walk this way, or to think it doesn't matter if we walk that way. He gives us the grace to walk this way according to the truth. And we saw last night the answer to that question the Lord asked of us: what is the greatest longing of your heart? And we discover that the right answer is the Lord, to know him better, to live for him. He is the greatest desire. He is the one we long for. Amen. Now, in Lamentations, of all places for you to find it, it says, "The Lord is good to those who place their trust in him, to those who long for him." Saying the same thing, because when there is a key truth of Scripture, you don't find it in just one verse, you find it all over the place. So he is good to those who long for him. Here, if we go, keep going in this direction, we keep longing for more of Jesus. Here, we long to please self. Here, we long for whatever enticements the devil puts before us. Which is the nature of temptation. We saw yesterday morning how Jesus stood against that temptation. In Micah, it says, "Whoever you are, the Lord has shown you what is good and makes it clear what he expects of you. To do what is right," this is the right way, "to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Now, those are three things that we're going to focus on in this session. To do what is right, to love mercy. So to do what is right is going to involve obeying his commands, what it is that he asks of us, and to walk humbly. Now, you will notice that these are three things that the Lord was working in us all last term. Ever since Christmas, He's been showing us what is right, to love what he loves, to hate what he hates, to love mercy, because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, not judging, not condemning, not criticizing, but being merciful, no matter to whom or how often we need to be merciful. And he's been showing us how we need to remain in that place of humility before God, because without that humility, nobody lives in dependence upon him. Without humility, pride rises up, and pride leads to one of two inevitable results. Either you walk in this way, or you walk in that way. Either you walk to please self because you're proud, or else your pride deceives you or gives the opportunity for the devil to deceive you into getting off the course that God intends for you. So when we look at this, it's all pretty obvious. It's pretty plain what it is that God asks of us. And we can see how there are many temptations, even in the life of the churches, that exist not to walk in this way, but there's a whole kind of pseudo-gospel, isn't there, which suggests that God exists to please us and that we just prosper in a worldly way rather than prospering in the things of the kingdom. God wants us to prosper, all right, but he wants us to prosper in the right way, not in the wrong way. It's not about having jet aircraft, personal aircraft, and big ranches and plantations and houses and all of that. That's all of this world. It's not storing up riches for ourselves in heaven, is it? So we are to be humble before the Lord. And we're not going to walk even in judgment of those who, it would seem, are more intent on storing up riches in this life than in heaven. That God will deal with them in whatever way is right and necessary. It's one thing to have riches and to use them for the kingdom. It's another thing to have riches and use them for yourself. If God gives people wealth to use for the kingdom, praise the Lord, because they're good stewards of that wealth. But it's not about acquiring wealth, acquiring possessions. It's about acquiring Jesus, having more and more of Jesus in our lives. And we talked a little bit about that heresy of antinominalism, which is evident in the scripture and which has been evident in various times of history. It's probably always been there, but when there is a real move of the Spirit, this heresy rises up at the same time. And it's risen up in this modern generation because the basis of that heresy is that God is so gracious and God has done so much for us. We are saved, hallelujah. That obedience to his commands doesn't matter. That's outdated. That belongs to the past. It doesn't belong to the future. And that we don't have to seek to live a life of holiness because Jesus is our holiness. So they completely disregard scriptures like, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So we say no, because that's a form of deception, isn't it?
Yeah.
All heresy is a form of deception because it has an aspect of the truth, but then something twists the truth and it knows no longer the truth. Yeah. But this is the way of truth. This is the right way. These are the ancient paths. This is the way of goodness. And it's the way also that scripture said of peace. Peace with yourself. That's very interesting, that. that in that scripture it says that this is the way where you have peace with yourself. Actually, while you're seeking to serve your own ends, you never have peace with yourself because you're never satisfied. And of course, if you're following in the path of deception, you won't have peace with God because the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness that what you're doing is right. Any believers here? So, God puts us right totally by His grace. That work of justification, of being made righteous in God's sight, is the fruit of the cross and is totally the work of God in us. But of course, He makes us right so that we will do what is right. So there's this scripture that points to the fact that what matters now is that we do what is right. Because it's only doing what is right that bears the fruit that glorifies God. So that's not just keeping our hearts and lives clean before God, but it's bearing the fruit that He wants, fulfilling the plan and purpose that He has for each one of us individually, and of course corporately, because all those personal purposes that He has for us are part of the corporate purpose that He has for His whole body. Therefore, we love mercy because we recognize that to walk in this way, Jesus says, men will hate you, they will persecute you, they will speak all manner of evil against you falsely. Why? Because you're speaking and acting for My name's sake. So there's going to be need not only for us to keep walking in this way, for God to be merciful to us, His mercy is new every morning, but every day we are going to need to be merciful to others, because the likelihood is that every day there will be somebody that you need to forgive. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. So we're only going to do that if we love mercy. If we love to be merciful, if we have merciful hearts. Because if you have a merciful heart, you're not going to get hurt by the opposition. You see, you only get hurt by the opposition when you don't forgive. Opposition is never nice, it's never easy, but it doesn't affect you if you are merciful. But if you're not merciful, it can paralyze you, because you then start to compromise in your walk because you don't want to invoke more criticism or judgment or persecution or whatever. So this way is the narrow way, not easy. But God has given us the Holy Spirit. I wish we had another color, but anyway, we don't. But if we had another color, I would color this part red to symbolize the fire of the Spirit. There's no fire of the Spirit for this. There's no fire of the Spirit for the deception. But we have the fire of the Spirit to enable us to walk on the ancient paths. Amen. People can seek to build churches based upon personality, based upon worldly leadership principles, and to a certain extent those are effective. People can even build churches and are at present building churches based on deception. But what God wants is a church that reflects the truth. Remember what I've told you before, that many years ago the Lord said to me, do you want a faithful church a popular church or a faithful church. You see, this might be popular, that might be popular, but this is faithful. So we're going to walk faithfully in the ways of the Lord. Now let's listen to what Jesus says. Here is a scripture that you may never have heard anybody preach on before. But it's something that Jesus said. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
Well, this might discomfort you. Jesus says, the axe... is ready to fell the trees. And everyone who does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire of judgment. Whoo! The axe is laid ready at the root of the trees. I don't think scriptures like that are preached very often because people don't like them. Don't like scriptures like that. It would be much more comfortable if Jesus had never said that. And so how do people cope with a scripture like that? Well, let's have a discussion. They do, you know, adopt a sort of a German position where you can't do anything without having a seminar to discuss it and argue about it and so on. So it's much easier to say, ah, well, now, does this mean that people can lose their salvation or what is once saved, always saved? And they get into some discursive discussion like that instead of really facing what Jesus is saying. The axe is there ready at the root of the tree, and every tree that is not fruitful will be cut down. Now, this does not lead to fruit. This does not lead to fruit. Because the fruit that we are to bear is fruit that will last. So only this way leads to fruitfulness. Amen? Now, actually, this scripture is really no different from what Jesus says in John 15, that the Father prunes the branches of the vine, and he cuts out every branch that does not bear fruit. So the reason why the Lord has saved you is not to go to heaven, but to bear fruit. And then go to heaven. Amen? Where you will have a great reward. Now, we don't have to have a discussion about it, but I suppose people that live like this and this, if they have been genuinely born again, will be saved, but only as through fire. And they will therefore, as we saw last term and we went through some things in the Sermon on the Mount, they will be numbered amongst the least in the kingdom because they have not obeyed the commands and have even taught others not to obey. Hello?
Yeah.
So, fruitfulness is God's purpose for the lives of every one of us. And if it's fruit that will last, it has to be the fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. So, what we understand from these scriptures is that God wants to clear out of the way everything that's going to hinder fruitfulness. Which is why he dealt with us as he did during last term. cutting out of our lives those things that are not right, cutting out of our lives those things that are not fruitful. And Jesus said later, didn't he? A good tree will produce good fruit, but a rotten tree will only produce rotten fruit. You see, those who walk in this way can only bear the fruit of self. Here people will bear the fruit of deception. Here people will bear the fruit of truth. They will bear right fruit, good fruit, obedient fruit, loving fruit, the fruit that reflects the life of God, eternal life. Peace, joy is another thing we saw yesterday. Those who walk in that way are filled with joy and with praise for God, right? Praise for God. So a good tree cannot bear rotten fruit. You would not cut a good tree down. You know, a good fruit-bearing tree. If it doesn't, if you've got an orchard and you've got a tree that doesn't bear fruit, you will cut it down because it's just taking up the soil and space and producing nothing. But you wouldn't cut a good tree down. So then Jesus says, a good tree cannot bear rotten fruit, neither can a rotten tree produce good fruit. If you have a good tree, its fruit will be good. If you have a rotten tree, its fruit will be rotten. Jesus says these things at different times. It's like a theme. For each tree is evaluated by the fruit it bears. What I should have said was that that scripture of the axe is laid at the root of the tree was said about what was going to happen with Jesus. It was actually said by John the Baptist. But then you see you get the repetition in John 15 where the Father himself will prune the fruitless branches. So what we need is to get hold of the truth. It's Jesus who is really the axe. You understand that? It's Jesus who is the axe. So every one of us is going to be accountable to him for which way we have walked. Are you there? So the good man expresses good things that flow out of the good stored up in him. This is Jesus, right? The good man expresses good things that flow out of the good that's stored up in him. Now, what is stored up in you? Jesus. You see, because if you're walking in this way, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Goodness is stored up in you, yes? The Holy Spirit is stored up in you. Uh-huh. The kingdom of God is stored up in you. The kingdom isn't over here or over there. The kingdom of God is within you. So here, this is the way, not only of being in Christ, but Christ being in you. This is the way of the Spirit. This is the way of the kingdom. But the kingdom is not of this world. So those who live for themselves are not living for the kingdom. Right? Deception serves the dominion of darkness, not the kingdom of God. So it's only the right way that serves God's kingdom purposes. Are we getting this?
Yes.
It's all pretty obvious, really, isn't it? Hello?
Yes.
But can you see that it raises an interesting question? It is so obvious. It is so simple. So what's the problem? The problems are really feelings. Because your feelings, if you listen to your feelings will lead you either this way or this way. Unless your greatest longing is for Jesus. And of course, the enemy's attacks and the world's attacks upon believers is always aimed at your thinking and therefore at your emotions, because those two are interrelated. You can't really separate them. One impacts the other. So all the time, those people who live by their feelings and by what they want to satisfy their feelings, they are not going to walk in that way. When they come to the crossroads, they're going to make the wrong decisions. Now, of course, this would be simpler if there was only one crossroads. But you know from your experience of driving that if you're going on a journey from one place to another, there can be several crossroads. And you can make the right decision at one crossroads, but then when you come to the next crossroads, you've got to make the right decision again. So it may be that a lot of people that are walking in this way of self and in this way of deception at previous crossroads made right decisions. They made a decision for Jesus. They made a decision to be obedient. They made a decision to follow him or whatever. And so they were walking on the way, on the narrow way, with Jesus. But then they came to another crossroads where they made a wrong decision. And when they made the wrong decision, I don't just mean, you know, about some minor sin, but about something that was going to determine the course of their lives, when they came to a subsequent crossroads, they made a wrong decision and so went off course. And when you're going by car, say from, you know, one city to another city, you're making good progress if you make the right decision at every crossroads. But you could get to the one that is the last one before the city that you're going to, and if you make a wrong turning, you'll still miss the destination. This is too deep for some of you, but are you there? So this is why the scripture says, and says persistently, that what we have to do is to persevere to the end. I mean, I've been a Christian for over 60 years now. I've got a few more years to go. But I've still got to make right decisions if I want to hit the destination. Yes. True. To persevere to the end and not to allow self to rise up, not to allow deception to come in and take me off course. I'm aiming for the heavenly city. And the heavenly city isn't my destiny because of what I've done, but of what Christ has done for me. The city that awaits me, the reward that awaits me or you, is totally the work of Christ for me. But I have to enter into that which he has for me. And therefore, I have to persevere to the end and not allow myself to be distracted and turn off course. Of course, if someone makes a wrong decision, God doesn't wipe his hands with them. They can repent, but they have to come back to the crossroad where they made the wrong decision. And then they have to make the right decision. Of course, the problem is that while they've been making the wrong decision, things have moved on. And now they have to run to catch up. How much more sensible to keep walking in the Lord, making the right decisions. Amen. So, you know, part of the deception is to think, well, back here somewhere, at the beginning of the journey, I made a decision for Jesus. Hallelujah! Therefore, my destiny is assured. But wait a minute, there's a walk between here and here. The amazing thing is with God that there will be some that will be saved, but only as through fire, because they made a right decision down here. But they're not going to have any fruit that will reap the reward when they're in the heavenly city. Why? Because each man's work will be tested by fire. And that which is wood, hay, stubble will be burnt up, but that which is silver, gold, and precious stones will survive. So that which is of good silver and precious stones is all the fruit that the Holy Spirit works in us as we walk on this way. So, what crossroads are we at now, this week? We're at the crossroads where we state our determination. You see, unless you are determined to reach the goal that God wants for you, every crossroads you come to is going to be a problem. And you'll be battling and tussling with yourself and with this, that, and the other. Isn't it much easier when you're on a journey, when you come to a crossroads, to know which way to take and not to have to sort of stop the car and dither and say, do I go this way or do I go that way or do I go the other way? But you're set on the course, you know where you're going, and you look at the signposts. And this signpost says heaven. This signpost says the glory of God. I told you yesterday that what God wants to do amongst us this term is to reveal his glory amongst us. This is the path of glory. That is not the path of glory. That is not the path of glory. This is the path of glory, where we bear fruit that glorifies the Father. So this is a, you know, some crossroads are major crossroads, some are minor ones, aren't they? But at every crossroad, you have to make a decision. But it always needs to be the right decision, otherwise you go off course. And okay, sometimes you can come to a crossroads and make a wrong decision, and as soon as you've made it, you realize I've made a wrong decision. So you don't go down that path, you turn the car around and you go back, and then you go back round the roundabout or back to the lights or whatever it is, and then you take the right turning. So actually not too much damage has been done because you listened immediately to the witness. Wait a minute, this is not the right way. I should have gone that way. And that's like listening to the witness of the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 that's not the decision you should have made. So you immediately rectify it. And that's an evidence, you see, of how the Holy Spirit is living in us and working through us to enable us to reach the goal, to enable us to reach the destination. You see, it's not true that to say, because back here somewhere there was a crossroads at which I made a decision for Jesus, therefore it doesn't matter what happens in my life between this point and this point. It matters immensely. Because the whole point of salvation is to live for the glory of God. Amen? The whole point of salvation is to fulfill God's original intention for mankind. He made mankind for his glory. He didn't make mankind for mankind's sake. He made mankind for his sake. Sin robbed mankind of that glory. All have sinned and fall short of the divine glory. The glory of God, yes? What Jesus did on the cross was to undo the consequences of that sin and to make it possible for us to be restored to the glory of God. Are we getting it? So, you know, you might think, oh, Lord, you know, I have to make this decision. Yeah, and for the rest of your life, you're going to have to make right decisions. Yes. Why? Because, you see, what Jesus actually said is that there is a crossroads every day of your life. Because he says you can only follow him if day by day you deny yourself. So every day there's that decision, no to self, yes to Jesus. Now, you see, the importance of him being the longing of our hearts is it's not difficult to make the right decision then. Because actually, although something crops up, you know, and you can see how attractive to self that would be, and you could see how enticing that would be, yet, because Jesus is the first love, you say no to that, and no to that, and yes to him. So it's not just a question of, okay, this is a major crossroads we come to this week, and if I make the right decision, that's it for the rest of my life. Well, it is and it isn't. It means that you're on course, but it means every day, every crossroads that you come to, you will just keep going, keep going, keep going. Because those are just the minor crossroads. They're not the major intersections of major routes. So you keep going, because you keep making the right decision. What is sin? Sin is making the wrong decision. Do you know what sin means literally? It means missing the mark. And you see, this is the mark. This is what you're aiming for. But you miss the mark if you go that way, and you miss the mark if you go this way. Amen? So we are not going to miss the mark. I'm not going to miss the mark. You're not going to miss the mark. We're going to keep going in the way the Lord is wanting us to go. Can we all agree on that? So Jesus says, well, what enables the right decision at every crossroads is the nature of your heart. the nature of the tree. If it's a good tree, it will bear good fruit. But of course, if the heart isn't right, then every time you come to a crossroads, even a minor crossroads, you're going to have a problem. Because you're going to want to go one way. And if you don't deny that desire, you will go the wrong way. And that will be sin. Without holiness, this is the highway of holiness. Yeah. This is the narrow way. This is living in Christ. This is the path of loving obedience to the one who is your first love. This is the way of peace. This is the way of joy. This is the way of fruitfulness. This is the way of glory. This is the way of the kingdom. This is the way of the Spirit. This is the way where Jesus is walking and you follow him. Isn't that right? So really, there shouldn't be a problem, should there? It's all so obvious. So what work does God need to do in us? Because, you see, what all this teaches us is that life is full of decisions. You've already made a number of decisions today. You made a decision when to get up. You made a decision what clothes to put on. You made a decision what to have for breakfast or to have no breakfast. You made a decision to get up early and pray so that you were ready for the 8 o'clock. Or you failed to make such an important decision. You decided not to do it. Every day, life is full of decisions. Now, most of these decisions we're just used to making. We don't sort of have a prayer meeting to decide what clothes we're going to put on. Only have to look at the way you're dressed to see that you didn't pray about it. But we don't pray about things like that, do we? except you ladies in desperation, I've got nothing to wear. But you only say that before a wedding. Now, the point is that life is full of decisions. Some of them are inconsequential, but many of them actually have an impact, not only upon you, but upon other people. So we could look at this from a purely selfish point of view and say, well, it's in my own best interests that I make the right decision and walk that way. And that's true. But of course, the way you walk is going to influence a lot of other people. You walk this way, and as a Christian, you know, you will give the impression, well, it's okay for a Christian to walk this way. So you will influence others around you. If you're a husband or mother or a father, your children will walk that way. If you're into deception, your children will be into deception. If you have any position of responsibility or authority, your life group leader or something like that, then the people in your life group will go that way. Yeah. Or they will go that way. But if you're going that way, you'll be encouraging them to go that way. Yeah. And that's why Jesus says, not one jot, not one tittle of the law will pass away. And those who obey the king, who obey his commands and teach others to do so will be great in the kingdom. But those who do not obey and teach others not to obey, they will be the least in the kingdom. So, you know, it may be you're in a life group, but where you're leading that life group, if they're walking this way, is to be among the least in the kingdom. Whereas if you're impacting their lives to go that way, they're going to be among the great in the kingdom. Now, that might mean that you don't have the most popular life group. Probably the most popular life group is going this way.
Yes.
I'm not talking about Kingdom Faith Church, because of course we wouldn't have any life groups going that way, would we? But you understand what I'm saying. That you inevitably have an impact, not just on people in groups, but people that you meet, people that you converse with, and so on. Whatever you're living with, whatever you're walking with, whatever you're running with, is going to influence others around you. So it's a bit of an awesome responsibility to understand that if I get into deception, others are going to get into deception. Now, I know this about myself. I have a ministry with wide influence, touches lots of people through what I write and all the rest of it. But so if I get into something that's wrong, I'm going to influence others to get into what is wrong. Yes. I've got to keep making the right decisions so that I can influence people in the right way. But same is true for you. Yes. Amen? Yes. If I wanted to please myself, then, well, we wouldn't be walking in the way that we are now, would we? We wouldn't have had these months of meeting with God that we've had. It's getting your focus on the Lord and keeping your focus on the Lord. This is why the scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus. So every time you come to a crossroads, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And where is he? He's going straight ahead. No deviations. Right? He's not going to get into self. He's not going to get into deception. He is the truth. So you fix your eyes on Jesus and you keep going. Yes? So every time you come to these crossroads, the minor ones or the major ones, the question is always, what would Jesus do? What does Jesus want? What is the way of truth into which I am to walk? So you see, God is doing a great and wonderful thing here. He is forming the principles of your life for the rest of your life. When you leave here, you will be on the right course. Mind you, you've got to stay on it, because there are going to be many crossroads in the years ahead. Many really important decisions. Who are you going to marry? That's an important decision. That's a crossroads. You could marry the wrong person for the wrong reasons. And that's not to be advised. But, the right decision for the right man, the right woman, for the right reasons, and God is going to enable you together to walk in this way and together to be fruitful, together fulfill his plans and his purposes. So there are many major decisions like that. And God needs to be part of all those major decisions. Amen? Where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do with your life. He's got his plan. And this is the amazing thing, you see, that the way ahead, you can't see really beyond the decision you have to make now. You can't see what those crossroads are going to be in the future. But if the heart is right, if Jesus is your focus, if you're longing for him, and if you really desire to live for his glory, then you can have the confidence that he will give you the grace to enable you to do that which is good. Because he is good. And his mercies endure forever. And so you will keep doing what is right, because you want to honor and glorify him. And you will love mercy. You will even be merciful towards any who try to get you off course. And you will walk humbly with the Lord, submitting yourself again to him. Every time you come to a crossroads, it's a time of testing, really. And therefore, it's a time of fresh humility, of fresh surrender. Well, Lord, I'm going to go the way you want me to go. Yes. Not the way self wants to go, not the way the enemy wants to go, but the way you want me to go. Yes. Hallelujah. So we need to rejoice that God, through his wonderful grace and mercy, in his love, has brought us to this point. And all those crossroads of the past, even the times you made a wrong one and you had to come back, he's brought you through all that. Amen? I mean, even some of you younger ones who first made a decision when you were teenagers and then went wild for a few years, then you came back. Right? But he's got you on course now. And he just says, there's no more going wild. There's no more getting out of my ways. Now there's this determination. Now I've fixed my eyes on the goal. And I'll just finish with this. while your students were away, I preached a sermon in the church about being an Omega people. Now, I'll just explain what that means. I can't preach the whole sermon, but you can download it from the website, because actually it was an important word. But you know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, yeah. The beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter. So an Omega people are those who have their focus on the end. That we are going to be faithful to the end. And that every decision that we make not just, well, what is right for me to do now, but I will make the decisions that are going to bring me to the end point. So that on the day of judgment, when I come before the Lord, I'm going, now listen to me, listen. I'm going to hear him say, well done. What kind?
Good
and faithful servant. See, what are we doing this week? We're talking about the goodness of the Lord, the grace of God. But you see, what does the scripture say? No one is good except God alone. So if that is true, and it is, then how can God say to you at the day of judgment, well done, good and faithful servant, because it was his goodness in you. Because when you made the right decisions, you walked in the way that is good. And this is the faithful. Oh, come on, let's put that up as well. This is the faithful way. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I mean, it's a bit of a no-brainer, really, isn't it? I mean, when you look at it like that, you can say, well, there's only one way to go. And Jesus is the one way. Amen. I don't suppose any of you would remember this. But when the move of the Spirit began in the early 1970s, it was very popular for people to have little stickers they put on, and there was a Christian put on their clothing. All Christians were walking around with these stickers on. It sort of identified you. And there was I can't remember what it was called now, but one of the groups produced all these stickers. And the most popular one simply said, "One way." It had a cross, and it just said, "One way." And they're orange, so they stood out a bit. And, you know, you went to a meeting, and there were all these people with orange stickers on. But they didn't wear them just for meetings. They wore them all the time because they were witnesses. And people would say, you know, "What's that sticker you got on?" I think we've come too sophisticated for this now. Everything was so simple in those first days. And everybody wanted to be a witness. So they got born again and put the sticker on, "One way." Jesus. And they didn't mind who asked them, "What's that sticker? One way, what does that mean?" And they talked about the one way. Perhaps we better print some stickers and see if we can reinvent the craze. No, we can't go back. We're going forward. But praise the Lord, He is the one way. Amen?
Yeah.
And actually people would do this at the meetings when they raised their hands. They would often do this, one way is the one way. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand and praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.